Hey, listeners. Welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to remind you that you can get the show notes for this episode and every other episode at learntocodewith.me/podcast. And if you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast player you listen on. And if you're feeling particularly generous, a review would be awesome too. Here's a quick word from our sponsors who help make the show possible. Flatiron School's online web developer program focuses on community, actual development tools, and features a curriculum that will teach you the skills you need to land a career as a software engineer. Get $500 off your first month by visiting flatironbootcampprep.com. The Product College is an accelerated higher education for the next generation of tech leaders. Only pay tuition after you graduate and launch your career at companies like Facebook and Google. Find out more at makeschool.com. That's makeschool.com. In today's episode, I talk with Christine Chapman, a software engineer at Audible. Christine is a recent college graduate and is totally wise beyond her years. We chat about what it's like interviewing at Amazon, how you can work on side projects within your full-time role, giving back to the community with one's tech skills, and much more. This interview may leave you feeling inspired to get your tech career started. But to do that, you have to get past a little thing called the technical interview. These interviews can be super tricky. That's why I want to make sure you know about Interview Cake. Interview Cake gives you over 50 hours of technical interview practice questions to help you ace your interview. The guys at Interview Cake are so confident they'll be able to help you land a job that if you use Interview Cake and don't get a job, they'll actually give you your money back. You either get a life-changing job in tech or a complete refund. Even better, I've managed to get a 20% off discount for Learn to Code with Me podcast listeners. To get that discount, just go through my affiliate link, which is learntocodewith.me/cake. The discount will be automatically applied when you go through that URL. And again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/cake. And don't forget to tell me when you land a new job. I'll be super excited to hear about it. Christine Chapman is a software engineer at Audible. She studied computer science at Brown University and has worked at Amazon as well as TripAdvisor. In her spare time, she teaches coding classes through Girl Develop It and other programs. Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Laurence.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you today. Real quick, is there anything else you'd like to add to that intro before we get into the interview?
I think that one of the things I always like to point out, because I meet a lot of people who study computer science through a variety of means, I feel like there's this unnecessary bias towards people who studied computer science in school or anything like that. But I really love meeting people who studied through a variety of ways. I think that's actually a really interesting path for getting into computer science and the ways you can bring that. So I always like to talk about stuff like that, and that's why I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and through courses that you teach at Girl Develop It, I know I'm familiar with the organization. I know a lot of women there are changing careers, maybe you know a little bit later in life. Maybe they didn't study something technical in college. That was certainly my story. And I actually took a lot of Girl Develop It courses early on. I think I took like 9 in the first month.
Wow.
Or first 2 months. Yeah, that I began learning. Yeah, and I used to drive like an hour to go to the closest chapter to me. This is when I was living back in Pennsylvania. So it really shaped like my trajectory without a doubt. So getting back to you now, you studied computer science. How did you end up choosing that major at school?
So I think I'm one of the few people at the time that was lucky enough to have actually like a high school program that covered computer science. I think that the programs are definitely getting better, but my high school classes did not really resemble the kind of stuff you would learn at college or that you would learn in Girl Develop It classes. But it definitely got me interested. We sometimes focused on like the very minute and boring parts of computer science, but somehow I was still interested at that point. And so from there, I kind of just like assumed that that's what I wanted to do going into computer science in college, which was a good decision to have made then, because I feel like there are a lot of hard parts about actually choosing to study it. So I feel like deciding that that was already a path I was on was kind of what helped me continue down that path. But I mean, overall, I always kind of liked the problem solving and the aspect of getting to work on something and then seeing it on your screen and kind of that feeling of joy when you actually get to see it working.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you studied computer science a bit in high school. I'm just curious, where did you grow up?
So this was in South Florida. I think I took, and I also went to high school in Indiana for a bit. So I think I took like a web development class when I was in Indiana. And then I took a Visual Basic class, which is not a great way to learn computer science, in my opinion. And then I took AP Computer Science, which was in Java. But we didn't really learn Java very well. Like within like 1 week at college, it was clear that I didn't really know Java. And then I was actually learning it. But what I really liked about the last class, the one in Java, is that we really, the teacher was very flexible and encouraged us to kind of just make whatever we wanted. So some people would, take the assignment and then they were really obsessed with Pokemon. So they would do something like that. Or I really liked Harry Potter at the time and I still do a lot. And so I would make all my assignments about that. And so it was a great way of like using computer science to kind of make what you like. And we would kind of demo stuff in class. And so I really liked that aspect of it.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. How did your high school experience compare with your college experience then with computer science?
Mm-hmm. Definitely college was a lot more rigorous and also more interesting. We spent a lot of time in high school literally doing things like you would have like a for loop and you'd have to like write down on paper like on execution one of this loop, like I is zero. On execution two, it's one, or like stuff like that was like a lot of what we were doing in class in high school, which is pretty boring and not necessarily the best way to focus on things. But in college, you know, we got to learn a lot more depth about how things worked and work on pretty big projects. So I really like that aspect of it. And I also feel like I liked the community more of my college classes and being able to kind of work with people on things. So that was a lot of fun.
And then when you were in college, what was the main programming language that they were teaching at Brown?
I'd say the main one was definitely Java. I also did functional programming at the beginning in Racket, which is like a version of Scheme, as well as OpenCaml. And then I took other classes in like C and C++, but mostly Java.
And at your internships during college and even like in your career immediately after school, were you working those same languages or were you required to learn something else?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much most of my time working in industry, including internships, has been in Java, which I was lucky about because that was kind of always the language I felt the most comfortable with. So I did like Android for a while, which is in Java, and services development in Java. And like at a few times I've had to learn other things. Like sometimes I'll write scripts in Python or the other day I had to do a project that involved JavaScript. But most of the time I get to do Java.
Ooh, so you mentioned Android development and a lot of the Learn to Code with Me listeners are really interested in mobile app development in one way or another. So I would love if you could talk more about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Android development. In March, I recently switched to a team that was not Android, which was kind of sad in itself because I really love a lot of aspects of it. I think what's really great, I really love being a client developer. Pretty much most of my time I've worked on some aspect of front end, whether that's like a service that's the front end or Android or something like that. And so I really like the aspect of really interfacing with the users. I really enjoy the like UI parts of Android development. A lot of people don't like that as much. And I also think there's a lot of interesting challenges with mobile development, like thinking about the space constraints, the fact that you have to support a huge array of devices. You know, like iOS, there's only so many devices that are currently on the market. For Android, there's so many different sizes and shapes and amount of memory. And so kind of figuring out how you can create a good experience for everyone with that is a lot of fun. And I also think that Android is a very accessible language to learn. I think you need a foundation in Java, obviously. But once you have that, I think it's pretty easy to pick up some tutorials. And there's a great community around Android where there's so many demos and tutorials and stuff you can kind of work through.
And of course, you teach Girl Development courses. What subjects there do you instruct?
Yeah, I've done a variety of classes. I've been meaning to do an Android class, so hopefully that one is coming up next year. But generally, I do web development. That's in pretty high demand, as well as I've done a class on Git. I'm actually teaching next month, or in a few weeks, I'm actually teaching a similar group like Girl Develop It. We're teaching web development, but specifically to this is for Brookview Women's Center, which is a homeless shelter, as well as a community that works to kind of provide job training and stuff like that. And actually, I met people doing similar work through Girl Develop It, and I specifically believe it like it's really important to give back to the community, and not just in ways like that are continuing to make areas that are very tech heavy, like Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I live. You want to make sure you're reaching out to other communities that don't have access like that. And so that's something that I like to do, whether that's through Girl Develop It or through other groups.
Yeah, that's really awesome that you're doing that. And sorry if you mentioned this, but which town is that in? I am familiar with the Boston area. And I'm sure I know there's listeners as well that live up mm-hmm. there. So I know you mentioned living in Cambridge. Where is this other class that you're teaching?
It's a little bit past, it's kind of between like Ashmont and Forest Hills. It's in like the Dorchester area. They have a few different locations. So technically in Boston, but sometimes people consider Boston different areas. It's called a Brickview Women's Center, and they have a lot of career classes and stuff like that. And so we're kind of working with them on this.
That's so great that you're giving back. And I would imagine this is after your full-time job, of course, right? So like in the evenings or on weekends?
Yeah, yeah. This one's going to be Tuesday evenings for the next month or so. Definitely takes a little time to balance things, but I think you can make it happen.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And for these courses, I guess like Girl Development or any of the others that you're leading, are you creating the curriculum, or maybe it varies depending on the program?
So a few of them, I started off, I was like TAing for the classes, but now I usually teach. So I usually create the curriculum myself. If I'm doing something through Girl Develop It, they do have a variety of curriculum available. So usually I'll look at that for inspiration, but kind of customize it to the way that I would teach it. I think some people have different styles, and it's important to like make sure that you're comfortable with the style you're presenting.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So for someone listening who really wants to give back in some way and would love to teach a workshop or some other kind of course, what advice could you give them on the best way to get started?
Yeah, yeah. I think you want to look through groups in your community that are kind of doing this work. I think it can be tempting to like want to start your own, which I think is helpful. But I think first you want to kind of engage with the current community and see what is working and what is not working. So some groups that you could get involved with, obviously Girl Develop It. They have chapters nationwide. I've done some stuff with Black Girls Code, which does workshops for children. I think I did one for like 8 to 11-year-olds. There's teaching workshops and stuff at some of the something like General Assembly or something like that. They do various workshops for the community, there's all kinds of organization. I think there's like Women's Coding Collective, and you kind of just want to see what's going on. Another way that people like to get involved a lot is through Computer Science Education Week in December, where a lot of people like to go in schools in the area. And I think that that's another time where I think it's important to kind of pay attention to what you're reaching out to. I think that, more affluent areas tend to get a lot more people with parents who already know these kind of things who are helping, or just a lot more access to education like that. And I think that it's great that CS literacy is increasing a lot, and you kind of want to make sure you're continuing to spread that to neighborhoods in your community and like schools in your community that could really use the help.
Yeah, and Computer Science Education Week, I feel like I should know this off the top of my head, but that's the initiative through code.org.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So for the entire week, getting classrooms engaged and going through like computer science courses.
Yeah. Yeah. They have specific curriculum that you can use, both for design for teachers as well as design for people who want to go into the schools and teach it. There's stuff for every age. So there's, stuff for children, and there's stuff for like high school students. And it's kind of designed to help everyone get in like an hour of code. And the idea is that that kind of stuff can be really inspiring and kind of help people understand that this is something that they can do. I think a lot of people, especially I feel like adults today, feel like because they never did something like this, that it's completely inaccessible to them and not something that they could learn. But I actually, through doing stuff like this, I've met a lot of kids who, they're in like eighth grade and they've already done this a few times, something like this. And so they actually don't see coding as that inaccessible as I think a lot of adults do today, just because it's the kind of thing that is being taught in schools, if only maybe for a few hours a year.
Yeah, and I apologize, I'm switching gears entirely, but I feel like this is something we just have to talk about during this interview. And of course, you work at Amazon. You've been at Amazon for, I'm looking at your LinkedIn real quick now, 2013 was when you got your first internship there, and you've been there ever since. You've moved around the company and worked on different products and whatnot. Of course, Amazon's a top tech company, right? So what advice could you give to others who would love to work at a company like Amazon, and just any tips on how they could prepare for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the benefit of applying to somewhere like Amazon or any kind of company that is well known and has a lot of people working there is that it's pretty easy to find resources on that. I think if you're trying to apply to a small startup, you might be the first person who's actually looking for this information online. So, you know, obviously, like general stuff like looking through Glassdoor, talking to anyone you know who works there. And I think for Amazon specifically, and I think this does apply to other companies, you kind of want to learn what their interview process is like. I think there's a general tech flow of interviews that it's good to be prepared for, but I think kind of understanding what specific companies are looking for. So like for Amazon, there's the Amazon Leadership Principles, and these are things that you can find online. And so usually a portion of every interview will involve questions where you're drawing on your leadership experience. And so you want to be prepared for that. You want to make sure that you're not just like 100% ready to do algorithms questions, but then can't really talk about your experience. And that's really similar for other tech companies, is they'll have a certain style. And so you want to make sure you're prepared for that. And I think it's also important to just, you know, continue applying a lot of places and not see one tech company as the company that kind of decides whether or not you're like worthwhile or whether or not you're actually a good developer. Because I think that the more interviews you do, the more obvious it is that interviews are kind of random. And whether you do well at one can be just that you had a great day the previous day and you're just feeling really energetic and confident, and that causes you to do better at the questions, or you're not feeling so great. And it's not necessarily like a reflection of who you are as a person or anything like that. And I think that when you kind of get in your head about that, I know that I did for a while, where I would get rejected from somewhere and kind of assume that there was no hope for me, or like I just couldn't do computer science. I think that that just makes you more and more stressed, and it's kind of a spiral. And so I think just kind of applying to places you're interested in and continuing to try. And I think that, you know, people who keep going, eventually you're going to find something, and that's going to be a better company for you. I think if you're not getting into somewhere, I think that, you know, it's a good sign that like anything could have happened, but it's probably a good sign that similar to getting into college, that like that may not have been the best fit for you. And so kind of continuing to go, and I think eventually you're going to find a company where you really fit in.
We're taking a quick break from this interview to hear a word from our sponsors who help make the Learn to Code with Me podcast a reality. Flatiron School's online web developer program, Community Powered Bootcamp, and free bootcamp prep courses are perfect for anyone interested in a career change and becoming a developer. Flatiron students come from a range of backgrounds, from financial to creative. What they all have in common is the passion, grit, and determination to learn to love code. Flatiron's rigorous 800-plus hour curriculum will teach you the skills you need to land a fulfilling career as a software engineer. Learn to Code with Me listeners can get an awesome $500 off their first month to get started on that career change. Just visit flatironbootcampprep.com. One online Flatiron student said he'd learn more in a couple of days with Flatiron than a year of computer science classes. If you're interested in learning how to think like a real developer while using tools actual developers use, check out Flatiron's online web developer program at flatironbootcampprep.com and claim your $500 discount. If you want to accelerate your tech skills in a higher education setting without student debt, check out MakeSchool's Product College. As an aspiring software engineer, you'll receive one-on-one coaching, industry mentorship, and build projects with an amazing group of peers. You can take classes in web and mobile development, data science, machine learning, AI, entrepreneurship, product management, and design. MakeSchool has 30 industry partners, including Facebook, LinkedIn, and Etsy, that look to hire directly from their diverse community. Their alumni work in engineering roles at Google, Facebook, and top Y Combinator-funded startups. And it's awesome to see a school align their incentives with their students' success. You only pay tuition once you've landed a job, and they even offer financial assistance for living expenses in San Francisco. What are you waiting for? Deadlines are approaching for their September 2018 start. So to be part of this incredible community in the heart of Silicon Valley, head over to makeschool.com to apply today. That's makeschool.com. Yep, I 100% agree with you. There's been times I've been, you know, rejected as well from companies, and or rejected in one way or another. And looking back, I always think, oh, wow, that was actually, I feel like that rejection led me, or is one of the factors that then led me to where I am today. So I definitely think people should keep that in mind when that happens. So one of the things that you mentioned, though, earlier, just in your response, about how bigger companies have a lot of resources online about like interviewing there and all that stuff. And I 100% agree with that too. I remember when I was interviewing at places like over a year ago now, and I was looking at a lot of startups. A lot didn't even have Glassdoor profiles. Like there was, I was like looking at people's like Twitters and LinkedIn, like trying to piece like the company together. So that is definitely an advantage of applying somewhere like Amazon or, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook, any of the larger tech companies where you can just find like, if you Google like interview questions at X, and there'll just be all these results that appear that will give you like sample interview questions, whether it's on Glassdoor, and there's other websites as well that can like curate them. So that's all really awesome. And you've now been there for what, like 3, 4 years total?
Yeah, I just passed my 3-year anniversary of full time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Super exciting. How long were you interning there before you went to full time?
I was interning for 3 months, the summer of 2013.
Okay, nice. And I'm looking at like your kind of trajectory. So basically, you intern there, and correct me if I'm wrong, over the summer before your senior year of college. And then I would imagine that turned into a full-time job that you started then when you graduated.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, cool. So that's really great that that worked out. But that's also, I talked to a ton of people who study computer science and are in a similar situation as that. And even folks that interned there last year and then never went back to school because they just like they were just given a full-time offer, and they just, which maybe once you're, you know, 3 years in already into a computer science degree, maybe that's not the best decision. I guess everyone has like the different path though. But what, when you were getting that initial internship, I know there's some listeners that are still in college or even younger than that and thinking of what to study in college. What was that process like? If you can recall, I know it was maybe like, you know, 4 years ago now.
Yeah. I was definitely extremely stressed out about that. And I think ultimately that was what was the main factor in me deciding to continue working at Amazon, is that I didn't want to go through that again. But basically, you know, I applied to a lot of places and I really didn't have a lot of luck early on. I think that I probably started in September and I got my Amazon interview and then offer like in April or something. So it was a very long process. And it was tough because I think that depending on your environment, it can be very supportive and people around you. Maybe if you're kind of in an environment where there's not a lot of people from the same industry, then everyone's kind of supportive and that can be really positive. I was in an environment where everyone was also trying to get these same internships. And it wasn't like we were directly competing, but I think that when you just continue to hear about how people are having such success and getting more and more things, it can kind of feel like there's something wrong with you. And so I found that part really stressful. And I personally, and I'm still not really great at interviews, specifically like the algorithm questions where you're drawing on the whiteboard are not great for me. So I would practice them and I just kept doing really badly on them. And I actually like for sure lucked into my Amazon internship in that it happened to be the question was related to something that I'd been TAing at the time. That was a big part of my college experience. And what we were covering that week in the intro class was what they were asking me. And so I'd been helping people like over and over again with this exact question. And so I was really good at it. And I think I mentioned that to them, maybe. It's hard to recall. But ultimately, like, you know, at some point I just got lucky. And, you know, for a while I kind of like really focused on that and felt like I didn't really deserve the job. But I don't really think that's true. And I think that everyone kind of lucks into things related to any job in that, you know, you happen to get something that you're good at, and like, you know, another company might have been great for you, but the question they asked you was just not something that really plays to your strengths. And so that's why you kind of have to keep going. And so I don't remember, but I applied to something like 30 or so different places, and like I only got into the one. And so like I'm obviously really happy about that if that worked out. But you know, you got to keep going. And like there are a lot of places I think I got rejected from, and I was kind of really focused on that for a while. But I just kind of knew I had to keep going.
Yeah, it can be hard when you have like your eyes set on a certain job and you get really excited and you go in and it almost feels, and I hate to come, I don't like to make this comparison, but there's honestly nothing else that I can compare to. But to me, it kind of feels like dating or something, like looking for a job and like you're going on these interviews and it's like you're like kind of talking to one another and seeing if it's a good fit. And then it's like, oh, like, do they like me? Like, am I going to hear back from them? And then you get rejected, or you move along and then you can make it rejected later, then, you know, or things work out and it's all, you know, well and good. So yeah, it can definitely be, the whole interview experience can be tedious and yeah, and nerve-wracking. I think that's a good word, nerve-wracking at times.
Definitely.
Yeah, but it, I mean, like, you know, you're working at Amazon now, 3 years in, like, that's great, you know, and I'm even looking at your LinkedIn now, and it looks like you moved up to software engineer two. Is that the right way to say that, software engineer two, or do I say level two?
No, two is right. Yeah, usually okay. I'll just say SDE two, which I think that's the more way of saying it, but which stands for software development engineer.
Yeah. And so this is like totally not something I was expecting to ask, but I'm just really curious because I've been thinking a lot about, of course, I work at a smaller company, like different job titles and like levels. And mm-hmm. obviously at bigger companies, it's a lot more structured. How does that sort of like work? Like what is the definition between going from like software developer engineer and then the software engineer too?
Yeah. I think, yeah, it definitely varies a lot from company to company. Like, we'll sometimes interview people and they're like a senior or like something even higher at their other company, and that actually ends up mapping to a two here, or like sometimes vice versa. It's kind of hard to really compare between companies. For our company, SDE1, so level one is usually, it depends. It's often people who are just out of college. That's a good example of that, or people who haven't had a lot of experience. In an environment like Amazon, so maybe you worked in an environment where you were kind of one of the only people who was able to do things and was kind of just, scrambling to make things happen, and that was great, but you weren't necessarily like learning kind of design principles and stuff. I think the biggest thing is kind of the design aspect as well as the mentoring aspect. So when you're an SDE1, kind of most of your job is related to coding and getting things done, and I think as you move up in the levels, at least in Amazon, there's kind of a lot more leadership expectation in terms of, you know, you're mentoring people around you, you're helping the team get better, you're kind of focusing on ways that, yeah, your whole team can get better and improve, and thinking about it from that perspective. There's also a design aspect in that, you know, you should be able to design certain components of your team's architecture and stuff like that. And then you can kind of move up through various levels at Amazon, and that kind of focuses more on the design and more at the big picture and less on the day-to-day stuff, and also a lot more on leadership and helping your team, eventually your organization, and maybe eventually the company.
Got it. So what comes after then SD2? Is there an SD3?
Yeah, there is. It's a little confusing at Audible. There's like another level between two and three. So we actually call them something different typically, but... basically, yeah, you move from SE2 to SE3, and SE3 is sometimes called senior engineer. And then after that, at Amazon is principal engineer. At that point, you're kind of not really on like a typical like Scrum or Agile team. You're typically like for a whole project. Like, you know, maybe you're the principal engineer for a specific device like the Echo or something like that. So you kind of like handle like, how are we going to make sure this whole product comes out on time? And I understand that this team is doing this one thing and this other team is doing this other thing. And how can we kind of make that all come together? And so at that point, you may or may not be doing a lot of day-to-day coding. You may be doing more meetings and helping understand that this team's architecture is designed to work with this other team's architecture. You might actually be doing coding as well, but maybe like bigger projects and stuff like that.
Okay. So this just like totally fascinates me, just hearing how different companies have it. Like mm-hmm. being structured, how you move up the ranks, and also just like the different titles. And I know it can vary so much. I work in product management, and I know at like Microsoft, for instance, the title there for similar roles would be like a program manager, which mm-hmm. at another company could be totally different. Like a program manager could be like, I mean, that's like a program manager. You could be working almost at like not a tech company and be a program. Like you're managing the program of a school or something, right? Like the curriculum, or I don't know, something like that. So yeah, it's all really interesting. And okay, so what about an engineering manager? Do you mm-hmm. do you have those as well? Is it more like focusing on hiring?
Yeah, we definitely have engineering managers. I think that depending on the team structure, their role will change a little bit. But basically, you know, they're involved with making sure that they're having like, you know, weekly or biweekly or whatever meetings with their employees, making sure people are happy, making sure, you know, people understand how they fit into the larger organization. They're definitely involved with hiring. And they're also kind of involved with like, I think a lot of people describe engineering management as kind of like shielding the team from a variety of things. So kind of helping make sure that like people are able to focus on the right things, being the one to kind of talk with, you know, product leadership or whatever about how they're going to be interfacing with the developers. And, you know, usually they'll be pretty technical in that. I think anyone kind of working on these teams needs to be able to like understand kind of architecture decisions, or when people are giving status updates, kind of understand what they're talking about. But they're not going to actually be coding. I think some people have the concept of like a tech lead, which is kind of like a combination of a manager and a software engineer. And we don't really have something like that. If you're an engineering manager, you're not really coding and you're kind of more focused on ensuring your team is happy and productive and that your team is kind of fitting into the larger structure.
And I'm super curious, which direction do you see yourself heading in? And I don't necessarily mean like just at Amazon, but you are really involved in the community and it sounds like you're really into teaching. You TA'd in college, you teach at Girl Develop It, you are teaching at other organizations in like the Boston area. Do you see yourself, I'm just curious, like how do you see yourself kind of moving along in the future?
So I guess the other thing I didn't mention, which is surprising for me, is that the other big thing that I do at work is I run I started our Amazon Women in Engineering chapter about 3 years ago. And so I do a lot of stuff for diversity work in the office. And as our office has grown, I've kind of more and more become like the person people talk to if they're interested about like what programs should they be rolling out and stuff like that. So sometimes I've thought about that and, you know, doing that full time for either an organization or, you know, an organization that only does stuff like that, like Project Include or something. I think at the moment, and I think that I felt this for a while, I really just like the general life of a software engineer. I think that some people go into management and that's a really important job, but it's not something that really interests me. I think that what I really like about being a software engineer is that it's very flexible in that, you know, if you want to spend the whole day coding, you can do that. But I think there's a lot of other aspects of being a software engineer that I really enjoy. So I really enjoy interviewing and I really enjoy getting to work on Amazon Women in Engineering. And I enjoy helping out with recruiting events. And those are all things that I can do as part of being a software engineer without having to make one of them my full-time job or anything like that. And I also just really enjoy the aspect of coding, obviously.
Yeah, I love that you mention all those different things that you're involved with, because I feel like, and at least I felt this way when I first started getting into tech, I felt like I had to like get this job in tech. At the time when I first started learning, I thought I wanted to be like a web developer. And it would be very rigid, and all I would do is like web development all day. And I feel like that's just so far from the truth. And I love to hear that you are saying that, especially at a bigger company, because I've never worked at a bigger company, startups. And at startups, it could be very easy to wear many hats and get involved in other areas of the company that have like a demand for, or do they just need some more attention, right? Because maybe that department mm-hmm. or that team is lacking, and it's like, okay, you can go help out that team or something, and it could totally not relate to your current day to day. And that's what I love. But I love that it sounds like, you know, of course, also at bigger companies, you're doing this as well. You're getting to go to these events and, you know, for recruiting, you started this chapter. And you said it was called the Amazon Women in Engineering chapter?
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So you're doing that too. And you're interviewing people and you're talking about diversity. And of course, you're still being a software engineer at the same time. So I love that, you know, companies nowadays, I feel like, big, small, there's just so much flexibility in what you can choose to work on, in your day-to-day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's all great. So, awesome. Thank you so much, Christine, for coming on the show. Finally, I just want to ask you one last question, because you do work with a ton of beginners and people that are just getting to tech through your teaching. What advice do you have for someone that is first starting out and teaching themselves how to code?
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, it's important to find what you love about coding. I think if you are kind of too focused on the end goal, which is obviously important, so things like, oh, I need to get better at interviewing in order to get this job at this company I want. If you're too focused on that, I think coding can start to be a very negative influence on your life, and it can kind of get more and more like you're just focused on those. But I think you probably found coding because of some interest or something that you really like about the process. And I think that making sure whether you're applying or whether you're studying or currently in a program, that you're still finding time to enjoy that. And I think that definitely applies for being in industry as well. Because I think, you know, like it's only worth it if you like it. You know, it's you don't want to like go through all of med school and then find out you actually hate being a doctor or something like that. I'm kind of focused on that. Make sure you still have time to do things like that. And, you know, continue to stretch yourself and try new things. Other like practical advice for people applying for the first time without a lot of like things that you would maybe classify as concrete experiences to, you know, include everything that you've done that's related. If you like have a few projects that you've done just for fun or to like practice something, you want to make sure you're including those, include links to them in your GitHub. And, if you've gone to a hackathon, talk about that. And I think that people actually like to see stuff like that. And a lot of the time seeing that will kind of assuage anyone's concerns. If you maybe don't have a traditional path, they'll see that you do have these kind of experiences. And so I think that's a great way to highlight your strengths as well as to get more experience and kind of get better and more confident.
Great advice. Thank you so much again, Christine. And where can people find you online?
Yeah. You can find me at Christine Zora with a Z on Twitter, or my Medium account where I talk a lot about the tech industry is Christine Chapman, at Christine Chapman.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you're interested in becoming a tech professional like the guests on this show, there are few things more powerful for landing a job than a standout LinkedIn profile. Your LinkedIn profile can make or break your job hunt. To make sure your profile is up to speed, download my free LinkedIn profile completion checklist, written specifically with technical employment in mind. You can find it at learntocodewith.me/LinkedIn. It was great to have you with me today. Join me next week to hear from another successful techie or browse through the episode archives at learntocodewith.me/podcast. See you later.